There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
In a neighborhood dominated by neon signs for assorted tawdry entertainment, a man walks down a street carrying two suitcases. He enters a hotel, signs the register.
His name is Arch Hammer. He's 36 years old. He's been a salesman, a dispatcher, a truck driver, a con man, a bookie, and a part-time bartender. This is a cheap man, a nickel and dime man, with a cheapness that goes past the suit and the shirt, a cheapness of mind, a cheapness of taste, a tawdry little shine on the seat of his conscience, and a dark room squint at a world whose sunlight has never gotten through to him. But Mr. Hammer has a talent discovered at a very early age. This much he does have. He can make his face change. He can twitch a muscle, move a jaw, concentrate on the cast of his eyes. And he can change his face. He can change it into anything he wants.
While he is shaving, his image in the mirror reflects several different faces.
Mr. Archie Hammer, jack of all trades, has just checked in at 3:80 a night with two bags, some newspaper clippings, a most odd talent, and a master plan to destroy some lives.
He sorts through a pile of newspaper clippings and picks one out. The headline reads, John Foster, musician killed. Accident at crossing ends life of Foster. He slips the clipping into the inner pocket of his suit jacket and leaves the hotel room. At night, he walks below the cacophony of neon signs, past an establishment advertising delightful girls, past a bench where a man and woman are making out, to a nightclub where a woman plays the piano and sings.
So thanks for the cheer. I hope you didn't mind my bending your ear. This torch that I found must be drowned, or it just might explode.
Hammer walks into the lounge and watches her.
Make it one for my baby, and one more for the road.
She gets up, gets her cigarette from the ashtray, takes a puff.
Hey, Maggie!
Says a drunk man, grabbing her.
Hey, sport, unravel the flesh.
Come on, Mag, have a little drink.
I'd love one.
Oh, good. Wait.
Very, very solitary. All by my lonesome, if you don't mind.
Oh.
She walks off. Sits down at her table. Hammer stares at her from a distance. He heads toward her table. She looks at him, in astonishment and puts down her drink. He takes off his hat and seats himself next to her. Grabs her drink.
If you don't drink well, don't drink.
Johnny. Johnny, are you a ghost?
Sure, a ghost. I just came down to check the mourners, read the obituaries. How'd they feel about the deceased, huh? What kind of tears?
You came to the right place, Johnny. I have a room full of buckets.
He puts down the glass.
I heard it on the radio one night, just like that. Death, as it must come to all men, came to talented musician Johnny Foster. Tragic accident, train hitting car. I just sat there and I cried. And then I...
He puts his hand on her cheek, and she clasps her hand on his.
And then I washed my face and put on some makeup and went to work. But everything had changed for me. My repertoire became very limited. Only blues. Only sad songs for piano and bourbon. Johnny, I don't care if you are a ghost.
Nah. There was another guy. My car, my suit. Maybe we even had the same dentist.
Why didn't you tell people that?
I wanted to get away from the world. From that.
Pointing with his cigarette at the band.
I decided to... trade in the old name, turn it in for something new, something different.
You're always a funny guy, Johnny. Way out, Johnny Foster. Well, are you satisfied with the reaction?
Morning becomes you, Mag.
Me and Electra. So how long are you with us? Is this a stop between trains, Johnny?
In a way, for me it is. For you, it's get out of town night. You got time for 6 choruses and a checkout. You're going with me, Mag. We'll go to Chicago or Detroit. We'll go to San Francisco, huh? We'll have a ball, Maggie. Everything by ear, but great, Maggie, I mean great. Just the two of us.
Oh. Oh, hey, Johnny, I love you.
He stands up and...
You name it, Johnny, you've got it.
Pulls her into an embrace.
Hey, Johnny. You put me back together again, Johnny, and I love you. I love you, Arthur.
They share a long, slow kiss.
You finish up here. You tell him you're cutting out. I'll meet you at the railroad station. I'll get the tickets. 1206, Maggie. Westbound for Chicago. Be there.
Oh. Be there, Johnny.
Another slow kiss. He walks away. The trumpeter notices Hammer leaving.
Johnny.
And stops playing.
Hey, Johnny. Like, didn't you tangle with a westbound freight? Man, I thought you was out of the world.
Hammer doesn't stop and leaves the nightclub. The trumpeter runs out after him.
Johnny, baby, we all got the wrong word. They said you were removed by a locomotive. Oh, Johnny, it's so great to see you. Here, let me light your cigarette.
I'll take the light, but you got the wrong guy.
Hammer now wearing his own face.
I'm real sorry, buddy. I thought you were the guy I just seen in the bar. I'm real sorry.
Going back inside.
Why not a beautiful dame? Why not? I never had a dish like that. I never been loved like that. Why shouldn't I?
He gently moves to the music.
Too wonderful, I'll never find the word. Yeah, Maggie. That's enough. Yeah. Why not?
Again, under the canopy of neon, Hammer walks back to his hotel. In his room, he takes out another clipping. Virgil Sterig. Gangland killing. Local hoodlum's bullet-ridden body found in river. And he takes on the face of the deceased gangster.
How was the water, baby? Was it cold? When did it hurt? When you laugh?
Dons his hat and goes out of the hotel room again. Hammer goes up in an elevator to the top floor. A man in a white jacket opens the door.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Pinelli's not at home this evening.
Hammer pushes him aside. Another man sits.
Who is it, Raymond?
Drinking and watching TV.
It's me, Mr. Pinell.
Pinell stands up and breaks the TV screen with his bottle.
Picture tubes are expensive. But you can always get yourself another beer. Imported, isn't it? I always liked your taste, Mr. Pinell. You always had the taste of a very rich man. Neat, but not gaudy. Please.
Stopping him?
Don't. Just sit down there and we'll talk, huh? We'll have a business meeting, you and me.
Virgil, this is the happiest day of my life.
This is the happiest day of your life. How come you look like somebody just stuck lemon juice in your beer, huh? No, Mr. Pinell. You're not so happy.
Sitting on a side table.
You got no reason to be happy. Believe me, Mr. Pinell, I know. You got no reason to be happy. No reason at all. Now, if you could have kept me in the river, a cold, clammy little item without a voice, then you could have been happy. But this is one double cross, Mr. Pinell, that came back to bite you.
Virg, you got me wrong, Virg.
I held up my end of the bargain, and instead of the payoff, all I got was the river. And that river was cold, Mr. Pinell. Far too cold for this time of the year. Lousy swimming, Mr. Pinell. Especially when you're almost out of blood.
Virg!
I brought back a satchel for you, Mr. Pinell. There was a lot of money in it. It was a real risky job. Now I figure my cut is more than a cold swim.
Virg, please listen to me. Virg, I got your cut, kid. It's right over there on the desk.
I'll take care of my own cut, Mr. Pinell.
Grabbing his arm.
What drawer?
It's in the center drawer. It's an envelope full of money. Why don't you let me get it for you?
Why don't you shut up?
Pushing him away, Hammer goes to the desk and takes out a thick envelope.
You said this was for me, didn't you?
20% of it, Virg.
The cut's still the same, Mr. Pinell. I always live up to my contracts. Only now there's interest. For floating face down in the river, I charge interest. For getting three bullets in my belly, I charge interest. I'll take it all.
Putting it in his inner jacket pocket, he heads for the door.
Bert.
Yeah?
Did somebody fish you out before...
Did somebody fish me out before I'd had it? Is that the question? No, Mr. Pennell. That's not the way it happened at all. I'm a ghost.
A couple of guys enter. Hammer pushes them aside and runs out.
Get him! Get that guy! He's a thief! Get him!
He descends in the elevator. And runs out into the street. Darts into an alley. Looks for a hiding place. Can't find any. Reaches a dead end. The two mobsters run toward him.
I gotta make it. Change my face. Gotta look different. Think of a face. Think of a face.
On the wall is a poster for a prize fighter. Turns his head, which is now that of the fighter. The two mobsters stop dead in their tracks, look at each other.
What did I do? Why are you guys trying to finger me? I mean, what goes? I didn't do nothing to you guys.
Nothing, buddy. We thought you were somebody else.
They walk off. Hammer looks again at the poster, then walks back down the alley. Picks up his hat. Back at the street, he lights a cigarette and walks toward a newsstand. The newsstand vendor steps out and approaches him.
Andy. Andy.
Who?
Andy. Andy, what's the matter with you?
Oh, Andy. Yeah, I get it, yeah. What's new with you? How's the journalism business, huh?
What's the matter with you? Something wrong with your mind? You punchy, Andy?
Yeah, I'm punchy. Why? Am I supposed to recognize you?
Yeah. I guess you would.
We met someplace before, huh?
That's right.
It was a long time ago, though. I don't remember you, old man. How do I know you?
How do you know me? As a son should know his father. What kind of a game are you playing, Andy?
I'm your son?
You were. You were before you ran out. You were before you broke your mother's heart. Before you did dirt to a sweet, decent little girl who would have cut off an arm for you. But now you ain't my son. Now you ain't nothing to me. You're nothing. I hate your guts. Do you hear me? I hate your guts.
Hammer walks off, but Andy's father grabs him.
Things go down hard. You just walk away, huh, Andy? People get in your way. You just step on them. Just kick them away, huh? Hey, everybody, look. Look what we got here. Andy Marshak. A gentle little punk. Look at him. Look at the gentle little punk. Everybody, look. Spit in his mother's eye, this one. Ruined a girl's life, this one. Hurt people. All the time, hurt people. Hey, everybody, look.
Hammer pushes him to the ground and walks away.
Look at him. Look at the punk. Look at Andy Marshak. Look at the monster. Look at... my son.
Back in the hotel room, Hammer hurriedly packs up. Upon hearing someone unlocking the door, he hides in the corner, behind the door. A man enters. Closes the door and sees Hammer, now with his own face.
That way you generally stand behind the door?
When somebody I don't know unlocks my door, yeah, that's where I stand.
Arch Hammer, huh? Detroit, Michigan.
I've never been here. Of
course you haven't. Neither was Henry Ford.
Hmm.
Get down for a bunco wrap, Hammer. I gotta put you on the book. You can make two calls when you get to the station.
Can I get my coat?
Be my guest. Where is it, Hammer? Up on the roof?
In the closet.
As Hammer goes to get his jacket, the man takes out a gun and walks toward him. Facing the closet, Hammer puts on his hat as the man approaches.
Let's go.
The man puts away his gun and follows Hammer out of the room. As they go to exit from the hotel, Hammer circles back inside in the revolving door.
Hey, wait a minute.
After looping around, Hammer changes his face.
What do you think you're doing?
Back to the prize fighters.
I'm sorry. Did you see a guy come out of there?
No.
The man rushes back into the hotel. Hammer stops to light a cigarette, then starts walking. Upon which, he is immediately confronted by Andy's father.
Hey, old man.
You got such a debt, Andy. You owe for so many years. You owe for so many things. And now, you pay off, son.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Raising a gun.
Now, wait a minute. You got the wrong guy. I swear to you, you got the wrong guy.
I got the right guy.
No, please. Please, wait. Put the gun down. I'll show you. I'll show you, honest. But I gotta think. I gotta concentrate. Just put the gun down. You'll see. I gotta concentrate!
As he lies on the sidewalk, gasping for breath, his face changes back and forth among his various assumed identities.
He was Arch Hammer, a cheap little man who'd just chucked in. He was Johnny Foster, who played a trumpet and was loved beyond words. He was Virgil Sterig with money in his pocket. He was Andy Marshak, who got some of his agony back on a sidewalk in front of a cheap hotel. Hammer, Foster, Sterig, Marshak, and all four of them were dying.
Above Hammer and Andy's father, the neon signs continue to blink. Credits. Directed by John Brown. Teleplay by Rod Serling, based on a short story by George Johnson. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Harry Towns, Philip Pine, Ross Martin, Don Gordon. With Harry Jackson, Bernard Fine, Peter Brokaw, Milton Frum, and Beverly Garland. Music by Jerry Goldsmith. Director of photography, George T. Clemens. Production manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art directors, George W. Davis, William Ferrari. Assistant director, Edward Denault. Casting, Mildred Goose. Film editor, Joseph Gluck. Set decorations, Henry Grace, Rudy Butler. Sound, Frank Milton, Gene Valentino. Animated title by UPA. Copyright 1959 by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio description by Lou Lasher.